What's going on, everyone? Welcome to Levels, special Thursday edition of Levels. I am Jeremy Long, and I am joined, as always, by my off-camera, on-camera partner there, the sports Nisa, Cassandra Cousineau. She's always messing around with something, no matter how much time I give her. But just like every woman in the world, she is well worth the wait. What is going on, girl?
Give me 5 minutes. I need 15.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well, we're having fun today, and we got a really good show for you. We had the senior combat sports editor for Sporting News and DAZN, Andreas Hell, who's going to join us here in just a second. And, you know, there are very few people, CC, that we can say that have such a plethora of knowledge about combat sports. Almost, you know, I don't want to put too much on them by saying almost unequaled, but if you are a fan of combat sports in general and you do not know who Andreas Hell is, are you even a combat sports fan? Do you even know what's going on in the world?
Nah, you ain't doing pugilism?
Absolutely. Probably absolutely not. So you know what? I'm not going to waste any more time. I'm going to bring him right on into the show. There he is, handsome, bearded face and all. How are you doing today, Andreas?
Man, I'm doing good. I appreciate that introduction. You don't have to put gloves on for me, man. I'm just working like everybody else.
He's so humble, too, folks.
He said
he's so
plethora. Humble.
Yeah, absolutely. Man. You know, we were kind of chatting before this about the year coming to an end, but the new year starting and a little bit of hope shining through. You know, I'm going to kind of reiterate a question because it's probably on a lot of people's minds. You guys at DAZN are staying busy. How are they keeping you going every day? I mean, you're the senior sports guy, so you know what's your typical day looking like right now in this weird ass year that we have?
I mean, when this happened, I thought, look, I'm done. There ain't gonna be no more work. But then the UFC decided to just roll out a goddamn event every week, and there's always somebody fighting somewhere, and there's pro wrestling, and there was news. So at first, it wasn't a lot. You know, and then things just started picking up, and, you know, it just doesn't stop. And strangely enough for me, I've been more busy now than I was prior to COVID, with the exception of traveling. Like, I was traveling, like, every damn week. But now I can stay at home and do the same damn thing. So I ain't mad at it, man. So it keeps me busy. The check comes on time, and, you know, I've always got dibbling, dabbling in other ventures, so it keeps me busy.
That's what I say. As long as the check clears, I will write about whatever the hell you guys want me to write about. As long as that direct deposit keeps on hitting, man. Now you say you dabble in pro wrestling. Tell me about the pro wrestling, because a lot of there's a good mix of people. Right? I mean, there's combat sports fans who detest pro wrestling because it's not real; it's all scripted. And then there's the other half that's like, well, I mean, a little bit of the showmanship and everything from combat sports was born out of pro wrestling. Where, you know, I know where you lie, but tell me about your pro wrestling fanaticism or whatever. Did you watch it when you were a kid, or is it something that just kind of grew into as an adult?
No, man. I'm a lifelong pro wrestling fan. I grew up in New York. My grandmother used to take me to the old WWF wrestling shows back in the day. So before there was boxing, before there was MMA, there was pro wrestling. And me, I just had a sixth sense of watching people get beat up. I like watching people get punched in the face for a living. So as time progressed, my grandmother was a full-blooded Italian white woman, loved like Ray Boom Boom Mancini and Vinny Pazienza, so we grew up watching those fights. So it was like, it just kind of made sense. Like, I liked seeing people get punched in the face, and eventually I got to cover these things. So I'm a true fan through and through, but pro wrestling came before everything else. It was like my gateway drug.
We just had Vinny Paz on the show a couple weeks ago, and Vinny, he can still go. He's still ready just to, like, scrap. You know,
I got to ask, though. Hold on. I got to ask. Did y'all ask him about his scorecard from the Mike Tyson Roy Jones fight?
This was before that.
This was right before that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because, man, oh, man. Yeah.
You know, just before I got on the show, I was getting things set up, and my daughter says, are you going to have Biggie on the show? And I'm like, Biggie, no, that's not possible. She said, why? I was like, well, he passed away before you were born. And her face dropped. She was like, what are you talking? He passed away. What happened? I'm like, the rapper? She's like, no, we just saw him on Monday Night Raw or whatever it was. So she's talking about Big E. and Biggie. generations.
You just scarred a child.
I know, yeah, right? She out here thinking people dying, and you know, at Christmas time. And no, we talking wrestling, but you know, back into the combat sports. So we know you have deep affection for WWE, but on your post at DAZN, you've had some interesting kind of transition happening in terms of how boxing is promoted these days and what the cards look like. When you first heard that there were going to be YouTubers on an exhibition card with actual real boxers, what was your initial reaction and how do you feel about it now?
I don't care. I think people are really upset about this, right? But I liken this to... Okay. So I liken this to... Remember in the 90s when they had the black box? Remember the black box that everybody used to steal cable? So for me in the 90s, yes, thank you. In the 90s, the black box was my gateway into watching cards I wasn't supposed to watch. Like I wouldn't have watched Mike Tyson if it wasn't the black box. I wouldn't have watched Julio Cesar Chavez. I wouldn't have watched Oscar De La Hoya. I needed an entry point into that. These days, the entry point is YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. And they have Logan Paul and Jake Paul to test them, if you will, but they have this audience that is unrivaled in this social media era. And if you want to get them interested in something, you got to kind of use them to get in. Now, listen, it's not like Jake Paul, who knocked out Ray Robinson and sent him to hell. It wasn't like he didn't train for that fight. He was actually training for that fight. It's not like he's taking this as a joke. Logan Paul may not be as good as Jake, but he kind of takes it seriously as well. So when these guys, if they want to headline a card and they give the opportunity to exposure for other fighters who otherwise wouldn't get it, especially with so many things taking our attention in the 2000s and the 2020s, I'm all for it. Look, I don't care. I've seen worse fighters. Like, you know, we see cab drivers get in a boxing ring and get their ass kicked. You know, like we saw Sinisa beat somebody's mom on live television.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jake Paul, if he wants to fight and he's going to bring an audience with him, I'm totally fine with it. I have no issue with it. Again, I like pro wrestling, so these things I don't give a shit about. As long as, this is exactly right up my alley. Like I really this don't is care. True.
It is up your alley. Do you get the feeling like I'm looking at the numbers and there's not yet stickiness between these types of exhibition fights and the next fights that happen the following weekend? Like we're going to see Canelo fights this coming weekend. We'll see what happens with those numbers, but my feeling is that as long as there are actual boxers, like Devin Haney was on one on the original card, as long as there are actual boxers, younger ones who are coming up, who can actually build a fan base on the cards, I don't have a problem with it. But if it's just straight up exhibition, then that's all it is. You're not bringing, your milkshake ain't bringing the boys to the yard if they're not coming back the following week. What does boxing have to do to hold on to the audience?
I mean, look, it's weird, but you can't have, like, you talk about the Devin Haney fight, which was the Logan Paul KSI card at Staples Center.
It was a terrible fight.
The matchmaking was bad. If there's any opportunity to put a can on the card to get blown out, that would be the time to get Devin Haney to fight some guy, doesn't matter who he is, with a blown up record, who's not going to be really competitive. You put him in that card, Devin Haney knocks him out. You got a social media moment that goes viral. And now these kids go, I want to see Devin Haney fight again. But that particular fight was a terrible opponent. It was terrible matchmaking. It was good matchmaking for Devin Haney, but it was terrible for the boxing fan, right? For the casual fan. But if you get him in there with a can and you make him look like Mike Tyson, now you have some people that are going to latch on to it. But the matchmaking has to be perfect. Like, you really have to be consistent. And you're absolutely right. If these are going to be like Jake Paul and Friends cards, I don't want anything to do with that. But if it's going to be Jake Paul and then, you know, I mean, for example, if you put Ryan Garcia in a Jake Paul fight, it's not like Ryan needs the fanfare, but there's an audience there that want to see him. You put Tank Davis on there. If you put Virgil Ortiz, like, there's a lot of these young fighters that need that exposure. And they're not really getting it otherwise. Even at DAZN, those cards aren't doing tremendous numbers for Virgil Ortiz, but the kid can fight. Yeah. He just needs an audience.
Right. Yeah, and I like what you alluded there that, you know, and I'll say, Cece, you know, it's kind of up to the boxers to make the most of these moments that are handed to them too. You get a whole brand new audience in, you get a whole, you know, whether it's casual or hardcore, the money still spends the same, right? So if you have a bunch of kids who have never seen boxing before, but Jake Paul or Logan Paul or KSI or any of these other kids bring that audience in, and you're a boxer on that undercard, say Badu Jack or, you know, one of these guys that have fought on one of these cards, well, it's up to you to make that moment, because who got the love on the last fight? Well, it was the Paul brother for knocking Nate out, because it was a tremendous knockout. Whether it was a mismatch or not, a YouTuber or not, it was a tremendous knockout, and it made the rounds. So if you're a boxer and you're building your credibility or your fan base, you're building your fan base, it's up to you at that point to make the most of those moments and make the most of those. Make new fans. Make new fans. Get out there and get a spectacular knockout. Get out there and do something. That's just kind of boxing is a niche sport in itself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to move it forward, to keep propelling it forward, you just got to make the most of the moments that are handed to you, because the days of yore where we had the fights at Caesars and everyone was, you know, it was Hagler Hearns and stuff like that. It's a different era now. You know, you're going to have to win attention every single time you step into a ring and every single time you put on a card. So,
Andreas, maybe. So in the meantime, we have UFC that's been thriving throughout the pandemic without using gimmicks. How does that happen? In some of it's pay-per-view. Some of these cards are $64.99, and some of it you have to have the app for. Have they just figured out the OTT world?
Yes. Dana has also figured out how what we're about to see is low cut, like the low wages fighting, he's about to cut a bunch of guys who make a ton of money. Like, that's what he's about to do. What the UFC has done over the years is put the brand above everything else. Conor McGregor was a big mistake. I don't think Dana really wanted that to happen. Instead, people tune into these cards because you're going to get 8 to 11 fights where a highlight can happen at any given moment. It could be a Chaos Williams, it could be a Kevin Holland, it could be anybody that can blow up, and all of a sudden Alex Perez is headlining a pay-per-view on a contender's contract, right? Mm-hmm. So the cachet is there with the MMA fan, where they're going to watch no matter who's on the card. Some will be bigger than others, but it's not dictated by the star. It's dictated by the UFC and the UFC putting on shows. And look, I'm not a big fan of Dana White putting these on cards during a pandemic. I think it's been kind of ridiculous the way he's been so steadfast in putting certain people at danger. I just wasn't a fan of that. However, other people, especially the MMA audience, who may have different political views as myself and may not want to wear masks or anti-vaxxers or whatever the hell they are, they're going to watch these fights and they're going to be tuned in. So Dana has maximized his income with the audience, and now he's going to start cutting loose all the old heads who has made way too much money. Dude, Junior Dos Santos made $800,000 to lose to Cyril Gagne. Mm-hmm. That money could be allocated elsewhere. So best believe, like JDS, he's probably Bellator.
Yeah, out of here. Which probably same thing for Yoel Romero and a lot of cats that are probably coming up here before the end of the year. We're probably going to get the whole list. But yeah, man, it's bloodletting season in the UFC, to say the very least. So.
People know you. So recent memory, our superhero, Andreas Hale, is known as being the combat sports editor for DAZN and Sporting News. But before that, you had a whole other life. I called him the OG in the music business. And he was like, you know, you're calling me old. I'm like, hey, I don't make up the news. I just report it. You know, I just say the reals. But your career started very early with the likes of BET and several others. But it's come full circle recently, and you just dropped a book on us. Tell us a little bit about the book.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, like prior to this, I was in the music industry. I was a senior editor. I was an executive editor at BET. I was an editor-in-chief of Hip Hop DX. I ran a site called Hip Hop Site. I worked with Jay-Z on his Life and Times project. So going into combat sports, I kind of stepped away for a little bit. But I recently just dropped a book, Andreas Hale Considers Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly. It's on Shea Serrano, if anybody knows who Shea Serrano is. His Gumroad Publications. And it's basically an essay. And it's if people want to know what it's about, it's an allegory for proactive versus reactive blackness. And what that means is when Kendrick Lamar dropped Pimp a Butterfly, you couldn't say it was a bad album because it was just so black. And it just felt very in the, we needed it at that time. But then 6 months later, when there were no protests and there were no dead black people that we were worried about, people were like, ah, maybe that album wasn't that good. But then when George Floyd happened, what is everybody playing? Everybody playing All Right. Everybody's going back to Pimp a Butterfly, how important it is. And what made me think about this is like, are people accepting of black pride and celebrating blackness when there aren't dead bodies attached to it? And that's basically what this is about. It's about an album that was extremely black, had nothing but black musical influences. It touched on black themes ranging from love and colorism to trauma. But how accepting of it are we when we don't feel like we need it, but we always mm-hmm. need it? It's mm-hmm. like Black History Month. It's not just February. It's every goddamn month. But that's what this piece is about. It's $10. You can find it at thewellverse.net. And yeah, I hope you enjoy it and people can check it out because this is what I do, man. Outside of all this combat sports and before anything else, I'm a black man first. And I have a black daughter, I have a black wife, and I love educating my people. So this is just what I'm doing, and hopefully you guys pick it up and enjoy it. And leave me a comment. I get crazy comments on my Twitter, but I enjoy listening to people's feedback.
So I got it. I actually got the book pre-ordered. So I was one of the first, actually, when it initially dropped, and appreciate it. You know, I think that you are somebody who lives as you speak and you live as you write. It's not a caricature for you. And I think that's why so many people actually relate to you, even though your Twitter feed, it be wilding sometimes. sometimes you bring the fringes in, but you know what? Sometimes you got to have that. Those people have to be part of the conversation so that you understand why you got to have the conversation.
Oh yeah, especially so you know, we work ringside for Kobe Covington versus Kamaru Usman, and we saw what happened when Kamaru knocked out Kobe, and we saw people's immediate reaction. They were really upset, and that's why I said the MMA audience is very different. Right. But it takes people like us. There's got to be people of color. And we have to have our allies in there as well to have these conversations about race and culture and the social construct. Because it's people say, keep the politics out of my sports. Man, sports and politics are the same goddamn thing.
It's all life. I had to get out of there before the end of that fight. Like, I got back to the media tent because it just kind of had a feeling. If something, Donnell Thomas Goose is saying, what's up to Andreas? He's a big fan.
Appreciate it, brother.
But anytime there's a certain element that you know is going to arise in UFC fights, I always try to stay close to the media tent. In fact, actually, before all of that, I was with Alan Snell of LB Sports Biz. We were on the floor, and like I almost got into it with like some woman in the audience. We were sitting there, I had my camera up. They had a problem with that. And I literally took my earrings and shoes off because I didn't know if I had to go. So we had to be ready because she was like getting really into my space. And fortunately, Alan had enough sense to say, you know what, maybe we should just go to the media tent. So yeah. Got up out of there. But there's always that element. I've tried to talk to Dana about it. This is not a conversation he wants to have.
Dude, listen, when you asked him about releasing a statement about Black Lives Matter, and I was watching, I was like, he ain't going to say nothing about that. Because he can't. What he's done is he created a safe space for like the MAGA crowd. It's like we don't feel comfortable in the NFL. Indeed. We don't feel comfortable in the NBA. But Dana, he accepts us. And he'll promote somebody mm-hmm. like a Colby Covington, or he'll promote anybody who like celebrates that, Donald Cerrone. Like that's a safe space. And that's where they can exist and feel like they're not going to be challenged. But guess what, motherfuckers? We're going to challenge you all day.
All day. So with that, thank you so much for your time. I'll let Jeremy go ahead and close us out.
Andreas, I got to go back to your book maybe it's too long for our last question here, but can you describe a little bit about your process? Writing a book, no matter how long it is or whatever, it's always something, an undertaking. Can you describe a little bit of your process and how long it took you to kind of bring this all together from concept to completion?
You know, honestly, it didn't take me that long. When I sent Shay the pitch, it was literally two sentences and it got accepted. And And I've been thinking about this for a long time, and it's really a stream of thought. I've been writing for a long time. So it was like just putting pen to paper. We had a great editor, and we had a great team that got this done. So it only took me a couple months to write it. And I thought initially it was going to be a huge undertaking. But I'm one of those people that it's like, if you give me a deadline, then I can work it out. But if you tell me, hey, man, you got whatever time you want and you can finish it, I'll be goddamn 90 years old before this thing gets
done. That sounds like Sportsnista time.
Yeah. Like, I'm a pressure person. Like, I operate well under pressure. So when they gave us a deadline of November to get our final edits in, I grinded day and night. You know, my four-year-old, she'll tell you, she was pissed off. Daddy was writing every damn day. But we got it taken care of and knocked out. But that's the process, man. It's just conception to reality. And then considering everything that's happened in society this year, it was really easy to knock this out because it's just what I've been thinking and what I've been breathing and what I wanted to handle.
Well, as you, you know, as I know this is the beginning of this, you're just getting the book out there and everything else, but you have another one in the pipeline. Is it, are we going to see more future works from Andreas Hell?
Yeah, man, it seems like it. I mean, when I wrote this, I'm one of those people that was like, I don't know why I want to read this shit. Like, I wrote it and was just hoping people would buy it, but it's got a really good response. We sold over 1,000 copies in less than a week, which is, I guess it's surprising. I've heard from literary agents. So it's like, yeah, man, I'm going to do something else, man. I've been thinking, I've been getting talked to a lot because I'm a Vegas guy. For those who don't know, I grew up here. Even though I was born in New York, I've been in Vegas, went to Valley High School. And growing up and living in Vegas is unlike any place else. And I've been thinking about this for a while. I've wanted to write something about growing up in Vegas. But we'll see. We'll see what we do. You know, with between music, sports, race, and society, something else will come up. I'm sure of it.
Well, before we let you go, man, the new Hall of Fame class was announced. Floyd Mayweather, Leila Ali, Klitschko brothers in there, Andre Ward. You know, what do you think about this latest class of the Hall of Fame?
Easy. It wasn't surprising. I'm part of the Boxing Writers Association, so I voted on that.
Oh, so you do. Okay.
Yeah, so I pretty much knew. I mean, when we saw the ballot, I was like, this is a dub moment. The only two people on there that can get considered that didn't get in were James Toney and Miguel Cotto. Those were the only two people that I was like, any other year they get in. But when you have Floyd Mayweather on the damn list, there's no way. And Andre Ward, I mean, the guy could still be fighting today and beating people's ass. So it's a no-brainer. And Klitschko, what they've done. So next year's ballot will be very interesting. But this year, congratulations to the winners, Leila Ali included. And yeah, this wasn't a very difficult choice for the people that voted.
And Canelo, Smith, are you even allowed to do a prediction at this point?
Yeah.
Conor Smith is like 6'3". Canelo's like 5'9"-ish.
5'8", 5'9". He's short.
Yeah.
He's short. And this is a fight. The odds makers have installed Canelo Smith is a +400 underdog. Mm. And I think if you got money, take a shot. Ooh. I'm not saying Canelo's going to lose, but when you're fighting somebody who has a 7-inch height advantage, a 7.5-inch reach advantage, and can box his ass off, Callum's not a bum. He's a 168 world champion for a reason. Take a chance. Because if anybody remembers Canelo versus Kovalev, Canelo was losing that fight before he got the stoppage. And Kovalev is not the guy who he used to be. So if Callum Smith can be active early and steal a few rounds when Canelo's still trying to figure things out, this can get dicey because if Callum puts him on the end of that jab, it becomes a very interesting fight. Don't know if he can do it. I think Canelo is the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. He makes tremendous adjustments. But a +400, don't disrespect Callum Smith like that.
That's crazy. I think Grandma sent an envelope on that Christmas tree over there. I might have to go up to Green Valley Ranch.
Indeed. Absolutely. Well, Andreas, man, we want to thank you so much for your time, man. We know you're a busy guy out there slinging books, slinging posts all day, every day, man. Especially on that Twitter, man, it gets dicey in there. I like it though, man. I like your work, man. I really appreciate everything you do, man. So can't wait to talk to you again very, very soon. Hopefully, whenever you get the new idea formulated for the book, you can hop right on here. Give us some love, man, and give us that scoop. You know, let us know what it's all gonna be about.
Look, absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me. Look, anytime. Like, you guys are good people, so I'll make time to make these things happen.
Thank you. And once the outside opens up, hopefully we'll be in the tent together somewhere.
Right? Exactly.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for your
Take
time,
care,
bro.
Andres.
All right, later.
Bye.
All right.
There you go, man.
Very
incredible guy. Does incredible work.
we talked about the writing process, and what we got to do, you know, I guess we do it before this year is out, is my co-host here, Jeremy Long, has dropped 2 books during this here pandemic. And so we got to tell people where to get them and what are they called. So what are the books called?
Now you put that on the spot, man. The latest book is called Lights of Saratoga. It's a comedy, supernatural themes and everything. So if you like kind of ghost stories, but it's more humorous and things like that, you can find it on Amazon through Kindle and everything. And then the other book is another one I'm not too worried about. So
we're going to go ahead and post that on the Facebook page so that y'all can go and have a laugh. I appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good laugh. Have a good laugh, man. And as always, salute to our guy Goose Thomas for giving us love, man. We appreciate you, Goose, man. And check out his show.
Thanks,
man.
Goose. Let the ball bounce Tuesday.
Yeah, let the ball bounce. And if you're scared, go to church, you know. Always will remain one of my favorite bumps and everything. Promo love with Goose Thomas, man. So every time I hear it, I laugh. I had all the fine folks over there at
Gorilla Cross.
There you go, Gorilla Cross. I was gonna say Quan Studio, and that's not it.
That's not the name of the place. But you know what? Andres had an interesting point about the Canelo and Callum Smith fight. Is, you know, a lot of people are counting Callum out. I didn't know he was +400.
I didn't know either that the odds had risen that much. They may come down a little bit as money begins to be laid closer to fight day and everything, but +400, I mean, I would hop on that if you got some extra bucks to spend, because I mean, this is not going to be a super, super easy fight. And Andreas hit the nail right on the head when he said, when he fought Kovalev, I mean, Kovalev was years removed from being Crusher Kovalev, you know what I'm saying? He had already been peppered a few times, been in some wars. So not the same stuff, man, but it's going to be a really great fight, Canelo and Callum Smith. That's kind of a toss-up for me, man. You know, Canelo's the pound-for-pound champ. And like we always say, you know, to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Yeah.
Teofimo Lopez took out Lomachenko.
He's the man.
He's the man. You know, and now, you know, Canelo's on there. And he's this year, anything goes, man. I don't know about putting money on anything because this year is so damn crazy. Who knows, man? Our guy, Jose Vellante, another cat over there, Gorilla Cross,
man. Who's
that
in your avatar? Who's his profile? I can't quite see. Jose, who's in your profile?
That's Robert De Niro. It's a casino, right? Or Goodfellas, one of the other. One of the others. Okay. That's Robert De Niro.
I've recently had my annual eye exam, right? And it's all shucking and jiving. First they like, let's just do the eye exam. Do the eye exam, right? And then they want to do an extra like wellness check, and that's another $40. I'm like, don't you check it? Like, what are you checking for? Like, it's all like wellness to begin with.
Why are you... You're looking at my eye, but you're not making sure it's okay. Like,
what the hell? So I got a new prescription so I can look at the screen and look down and read, but then I got to take them off to like see anything else around me. So I'm kind of just in like the little box of where I can kind of see stuff.
Oh, there you go. Good.
I can kind of see stuff right here, but nice. I can't wait to get them glasses and then lose them because that's how I get down.
Another one of your favorite guys, Caleb Plant, has got a fight lined up too. I know that's your homeboy. I don't know why I said that. January 30th, Caleb Plant's going to be having his IBF, a super middleweight championship?
168.
Yeah. So he's coming back against the number 10 ranked, who is it? Caleb Truex?
Truex, yes.
Truex, so there you go.
Is that Truex. February, is that fight?
January 30th.
So January 3rd. So 168 is kind of a like mishmash right now. So Caleb has the IBF belt. Mm-hmm. You have Canelo with the WBO belt.
Yeah.
No, he has a WBC.
WBC belt.
And the one that was vacated by David Benavidez on the scales is the WBO belt. But I believe they put that WBO belt on the line for this fight.
It's one of those. Whichever one he lost on the scale is now up for grabs. Is it WBO?
Yeah.
Let's see.
And what I hope happens is that whoever wins this fight, I assume that's going to be Canelo, I hope he defends it. You know, and I hope they give David Benavidez a chance to actually get back into the belt. I love Caleb Plant too. And like Caleb has been kind of like shut out on, the whole conversation right now. And so like, cause he was supposed to fight Canelo, like he was being discussed and, you know, Canelo went the other direction, but that, the one that was vacated by David Benavidez, I want to see David back in discussion and having an opportunity to fight for a belt again. He deserves it. He did miss weight. But he's more than a contender at that 168.
Absolutely. You know, and it's funny, and I'm never going to be that guy that's saying, hey, you know, this guy is ducking this other guy here. But Canelo really didn't have many words for David Benavidez whenever David had the WBC super middleweight title. And now, you know, now all of a sudden it gets added in there. You know, it seems like Canelo's kind of trying to, you know, I mean, his legacy is solidified no matter what. Right. If he walked away today, I think he's the first ballot Hall of Famer and everything. But it looks like he's going on a belt grab. the belts.
It does. All the belts he can. Greedy. And then, like, you got to defend them. You can't just, like, say, hey, look at my trophy case.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could, but it'd be foul, dude. It'd be real foul.
Jose here, in fact, saying they had Edgar Berlanga on the other night.
Uh-huh.
Of course, a guy, one of those guys, man, you got to love Edgar.
He ain't ready. 16. He ain't ready, bud. He ain't ready for, like, that step up. He needs a step up fight, but championship level, we don't know. I think that's probably the best thing. We don't know because he keep knocking fools out in the first round.
Yeah. It's time for that next level, and it's time to kind of box some rounds and get out there and see, you know, what's going on and everything. But, you know, he's certainly got the power. There's no doubt about that. It's everything else that goes into it, you know, can he take those shots back and, give as good as he, take as good as he gives and everything. He's an incredible young man. I think he's in that same vein as Teofimo. I think he's charismatic. He's a good looking
cat. That kid.
You know, I mean, he's a marketing, you know, boxing marketing dream and everything.
Yep.
So if you missed it, go back on Jose Vellante's show, watch that interview. It was really, really good. Good questions there by the group to the young champ. And, we'll see what's next for him. But I think he's still a little bit away from taking that next step up. But I'm not saying he's not going to get there. He's bound for it. You know?
It's inevitable. So it's WBC belt that David Benavidez had. Rambler Ralph presents in the house.
Hey, Ralphie. Doing his own thing there.
But he definitely, at 168, so we talked with Edgar in the summer, I think it was.
I would say late summer. Yeah.
Late summer. And we also had David Benavidez on the show. David said he's up for it. You have Mexico versus Puerto Rico. That could also, you know, that could be very interesting. But the one mistake that happens often with young boxers is that they take too wide of a step up. Mm-hmm. And there's something to be said about developing a fighter. And I know fans are not, they don't love that. Fans want to see people get their head taken off right away. But if you're talking about someone's career, that's why I have no problem with Deontay Wilder's resume. You build up to become a champion, and you got to learn things. And the only way you learn it is through rounds.
Yeah. And that's the nature of the boxing beast. MMA losses come every day. You're a punch away, and it doesn't mean as much. I mean,
John Bones Jones is just, I mean, he's an anomaly, you know,
right.
Having that one loss that probably shouldn't have been a loss by those illegal elbows, you know, to Matt Hamill back in the day and everything. Minus that, the guy hasn't even been, you know, he's had maybe one or two fights where it's been pretty close. You know what I'm saying? But he's an anomaly in that sport. Boxing is totally different. You know, these guys get built up and everything, and one loss can set them back years. You know, and depending on how bad that loss can be, I really wish Ralph was on here because he's right next to it and everything. But depending on how bad that loss is, it can set them back years before they get another title shot. Or you see guys getting title shots, you know, 10 fights in, and then automatically the fans are like, you know, ah, he's ducking this guy. This guy's like, he just turned pro last week. How is he already ducking people? You know, so I mean, boxing is just it's, you know, sometimes the fans sometimes know what they're talking about, and other times you just got to tell boxing fans just shut the hell up because they're annoying, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's a business side to it, man. You not everyone's ducking everyone. It's, you know, sometimes the dollars don't make sense, man. And that's boxing.
That's what has to happen.
There's no collective bargaining agreement in boxing. No. You know, they got to get every single dollar they can. So that's why, you know, it may not make sense, but, you know, that's how the YouTube guys get in, and that's how they make their, you know, they can main event cards when other guys are barely scraping by.
Hey, man, that's why Mike Tyson and Roy Jones are in there. But you know what? Top Rank has to get Edgar Berlanga, Teofimo Lopez. Yeah, you got to get even Tyson Fury, Usyk up in there. These are the names right now that are trending on social media platforms, and that has to mean something. That has currency. Edgar Berlanga is like under 24 years old, and he loves his mama too. He loves his mama. He's got that metro New York area sewn up. I mean, he's got that superstar flair around him. They mm-hmm. need to keep him busy, and I'm pretty certain that they are. But it has to be to develop him, not just to showcase him.
Yeah, I agree, man. It's a balancing act in boxing. It really is. So hats off to the men and women that can do it and do it right. Hey, man, you have Fury and Joshua coming up finally. It looks like looks like that deal is probably going to be made faster than anything else because Eddie Hearn got his wish. I mean, Fury's got his championships belts. Joshua went out and took care of business, finished his guy. So it looks like they're going to be meeting somewhere in the middle. It even talks about guys dropping belts so that they can make this fight happen even easier.
Is he going to not do the mandatory?
I think that's what they're trying to go for, which I think is a little short-sighted because I think what a lot of fans want to see finally once again is an undisputed heavyweight champion and dropping belts, especially the top tier belts. I think it puts us back at square one. It's like, yeah, that'll be a fun fight, but at the end, we want that fight to mean something, not just Fury versus Joshua, but who's the undisputed guy? Who's going to be that guy, you know? So I think it may take a little shine off of it, but just a little. I mean, it's still going to be the biggest fight probably of 2021, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so right now Joshua is the only one with the mandatory. Tyson Fury has the issue of the rematch clause with Deontay Wilder, but they can pay him and make it go away. It does not affect the belt. But Joshua, I believe, Usky is his mandatory. So,
yeah.
I mean, listen, that'd be a fun fight, but you really want that one?
You want to really want to risk it? I don't know, man. There's always the Otto Wallins of the world waiting to cut your man open and give us all a heart attack. So, I mean, it's a lot of fun right there. But, you know, Eddie Hearn wanted no part of having Joshua face Deontay Wilder. He got his wish. He did in hopes that Wilder would step aside and do this. And I'm not saying Wilder would just go out there and beat Joshua. Yeah. But he does have that one thing that he does so very, very well, that right hand of his. So, you know, we'll see, man. It's going to be Interesting.
Yeah, and I think that's why, you know, there's vaccines on the way, because people just can't be bothered with wearing a mask and not gathering in groups. You just can't be bothered with that. So y'all just waiting on a vaccine. And so, but, you know, if that might happen, like, late next year, we might have a significant live gate.
Yeah, and I think they're going to need it, because I think it's going to be a high dollar thing. So, I mean, that's one of those fights that you're going to need that live gate. They're going to have it in Britain. They're going to sell out, you know, maybe Wembley, 90,000 plus again, maybe 100,000 plus, unless they could get, like, I don't know, Texas Stadium and get 100,000 plus in there. But you got to
put that in Wembley. It's got to be, you know, O2 or something like that.
Well, I don't have to box. Maybe. I don't know. The thing about it is, you know, we talk about it all the time, is that when guys are good at something and Wilder has that TNT in his hands, man, they fall in love with that one thing. And you saw when he couldn't quite, you know, he landed it a couple of times against Fury, but Fury was able to get up in their first fight. Second fight, you know, not even close, man. He couldn't land that KO punch because Fury just swarmed him, you know, and had a great game plan for him. And but, you know, these guys, they fall in love with, and that's what you don't want to see in a guy like Edgar Berlanga, is like, don't fall so much in love, but you have incredible knockout power, but eventually you're going to have to box some of these guys and not just knock them out. Same with Tank Davis. And, you know, we saw with Teofimo, he was just knocking guys out left and right. And then he had to box Lomachenko, and he did a masterful job, you know, wonderful job doing that. So you're going to have to see that. You hope guys don't, and their trainers don't fall too much in love with just land that one shot, because if that shot's not there, you get out.
That's the matchmaking. I mean, the matchmakers and your trainers have to be willing to put you in the ring with an opponent that's going to make you do those things. Because if not, then why bother? I mean, I saw the end of Berlanga's fight, and like, he was just trying to knock this kid out, you know, in the last 30 seconds or so. Yeah. And he can't. I mean, clearly he can, and that's why he does it. But if the opponent was actually able to box with him, it may have looked different for him. But you know what? When it comes to Deontay Wilder and how he has evolved, thanks, Ralph. Go see you tomorrow. Deontay has fallen in love with that punch, but I also, as much as I like his trainer, Jay Deese, and I think Jay has been very loyal to him, he's also been a great detriment to him, because they have been training Deontay since he was 18 years old, which is late. We're all right. Well, we're all right. We do all right. But they've been training him just to rely on that knockout. I mean, you look at his evolution as a fighter. Yeah, he's fought guys who have not been able to match his power and who've been unwilling to even risk getting on the inside. I mean, he's got that incredible, 7-foot wingspan as well. But because of how he's been trained, I think it's been a great detriment to him throughout the evolution of his career. And it all came crashing down and caught up with him against Tyson Fury.
You know, unfortunately, you kind of see a guy who was not used to that. He was not mentally prepared for that. You know what I'm saying? Because he, all of a sudden, he's okay with it and he's good. And then the excuses started coming out.
Yeah.
His legs were gone. It was his costume. It was this and that. And then he was silent. And then, you know, came out even more. Someone tampered with my water bottle, and it was anyone's fault except mine, and it was anything except Tyson Fury just beat my ass. And you know, it's just it's crazy, the mentality. You know, he was so used to disposing of guys with such ease that he couldn't fathom ever lose. And you need your fighters to have a certain level of confidence. But at that point, you look at a guy and you go, you're kind of unhinged. Yeah. You know, a loss is a loss is a loss. You suck it up, be a man, whatever you want to say to him at that point. But, you know, I don't know if he's ever going to be the same again. You know, that might have just broken him. That might have been his George Foreman moment, where he just walks away from – maybe he should just walk away. I don't know. I don't know what's going on, except what he shows us, and what he's showing us is – somebody who is not mentally ready to kind of get back into championship mode and fight for a championship. But, you know, again, you know, he can beat the bums. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Well, and he can even beat the on Mark Breland and disparaging Breland's character like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's in a whole different headspace when you start doing something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about, what if they match him with, because he's not getting that Fury fight. They're not taking down Legion of 2000. That thing, man, because I was watching him. So I actually watched him from when he walked into MGM Grand. He had a costume on, a whole different like costume coming in. And then him coming in with that costume, like it was just all too much. It was just all.
Yeah, but the thing is like he had already been doing stuff. His interviews all leading up to it, he was like, I work out with these weight vests on and I'm ready and everything else. And then he was like, my costume, my legs were spent before I ever got to the.
Everything bad. Well, what do you think about matching him with someone like Dylan White or even Andy Ruiz is still out there?
Yeah, absolutely. Andy Ruiz needs a comeback. I know he's been training at Jorge Capetillo's gym here in Vegas, you know, doing something, maybe getting back to basics. Maybe it embarrassed him into getting back into, you know, fight shape for Andy Ruiz. So, you know, he could fight then. Dylan White's a good option to get back in there. There's kind of a mix. I mean, there's Fury and Joshua. Yeah, there's Fury and Joshua. And then there's a whole little group of guys in that heavyweight division that could really get in there and mix it up and cause some trouble and be those next mandatories for some of these guys or the top two guys and everything. So, hey, to get back in it, you know, there you go. Andy Ruiz, Chris Areola in LA. You know? Areola's still around there, huh? Every time I see him, he's getting knocked out. I don't know. And White may be, yeah, Dylan White may be the look for him. And so,
listen, that'd be a great promotion too.
Yeah, both of them. Yeah, just the smack talk on that one is worth the price of admission. It's dinner and a movie. So there you go.
Off the charts. Well, we've got some the end of the year UFC Vegas 17, I think they're calling it, is up on Saturday. And what's happened in 2021, Ralph? Which one?
Ruiz and Areola, I think. Yeah.
Hey, man. Check out Jamil's show. I'll follow him at Pop DiBiase on Twitter, and you'll see he's got a couple of shows up that he does, also one on Vegas Sports Daily as well. Hey, you know what? We forgot to shout out our sponsor, Amazon
Real Estate. Yeah, that was you.
No, I'll take that. AmazonRealEstate.com, the new way of doing real estate. For a little bit of money, you can have a whole lot in a whole lot of house and a whole lot of opportunities. Check them out at AmazonRealEstateClub.com. We don't have them on early 2021.
Yeah.
Talk about who you got in the main event, though, for this UFC card.
Stephen Thompson versus Jeff Neal. You know, Stephen Thompson, this is kind of one of those tricky fights, right? So he's coming off not looking good in his past couple of fights against a guy like Jeff Neal, who a lot of people are kind of getting at Jeff Neal. Like he's, you know, he's primed to be that next step, that kind of big star coming up or whatever. He's got the skill set, man. Jeff Neal is, he's a good-looking fighter as far as, you know, being over there and mixing it up and everything. Stephen Thompson, Stephen Thompson is one of those cases where, you know, you're just like, you know, I'm what happened to your killer instinct? You know,
got them beautiful kicks, man.
You know, and just, you know, he looks like he's trying to karate point fight guys instead of put guys away like he used to, or used to try to anyway. You know, he doesn't look like the same fighter who was fighting for championship belts in that division and everything. So it's one of those things, like, you know, you're going to want to see something from Thompson or else he's going to keep falling in the rankings, man. You know, maybe his time is up, which is a shame because, you know, really good dude, really great family. I know in the past we've had his father on the show a couple of times, who's also a very, very charismatic guy who – is one of the nice guys, true nice guys in the business and everything. Who do I pick? I had to think about that one. So give me a second to think about that one. But we also have former champ, Bantamweight champ, Jose Aldo and Marlon mm-hmm. Vera. That should be a really fun fight. Lima. Piera Lima. And Chaos Williams. Chaos Listen. Is making a name for himself by causing being pure chaos.
By being chaotic. Yeah. That man right there is not to be messed with. I think that fight's going to end quick.
Mm. It's going to be chaos, man. And, of course, your favorite person in the world, Greg Hardy's back on the card. So,
this is what I want to know. Why are you going to be on a card every other goddamn weekend? I mean, this guy, we might have seen him more than Kevin Holland this year.
Yeah.
And that's a shame. I mean, it's just, listen, the great deodorizer in sports is winning. It's great deodorizer because a lot about Greg Hardy stinks. It is a complete cesspool of a life that he's been living, but he's been winning in the cage. So people forget. I didn't forget, though. I did not forget what had happened. And Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's all I got to say. I'm sorry. Oh, well, hey. Thinking about what I have, what the conversation is going to be like in the tent.
Yeah, right.
Should he come back there?
No, because you're not going to hold back. So that's fun. And of course, Anthony Pettis and Alex Morano are headline the prelims, basically.
Interesting interviews that Anthony Pettis has been doing lately. He's been talking about how he's been sober for 3 months mm-hmm. and how much drinking and doing weed. And I don't know if he was smoking weed or however he was getting it. How much of that was part of his fighting for the past few years? And he's, for 3 months anyway, done something a little bit different.
Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder what happens, with these guys and how much it either adds to them or takes away from them. And Pettis hasn't looked like the Pettis of old in such a long time that, I mean, he's still a very talented fighter. And he, obviously we see just a few fights ago with him with that home run shot on Stephen Thompson and with that KO, but that was more I don't want to say fluky, but a little bit fluky, KO. So, if he's letting it be known that at one point or another it was a problem, then you have to wonder how much of that stole from his career, before he got it under control. And good for him for recognizing the problem, getting help and getting, free of that. Mm. But we'll see.
These are very special athletes.
Yeah.
Most people can't do what they do.
No.
And how they get up to do what they do has to be unconventional at times. You get kicked in your face, not just during a match that you're being paid for, but during any kind of practice. And there's, after a while, you're going to do whatever you need to do to anesthetize that pain and uh-huh. discomfort. And so, it's, the dirty little secret nobody wants to talk about because people think that it's funny or that it's dirty. But, the alcohol is one thing, but if they can get this medical marijuana under control and understand how it affects the fighter's body, when they should do it and when they should not and how much they need, it'll save a lot of trouble. Not just like the drama around it. You got Nico Price being suspended by the Nevada Athletic Commission. I know I keep bringing this up. I think it's stupid. And, right. You got like 70-year-old men who still call like marijuana, like dope or some nonsense like that. But hey, ibuprofen, let's jack up your kidneys as much as we can. But we'd be letting smoking.
Yeah, and I think that's the main argument for proponents of CBD and the oils that the, mm-hmm. The certain CBDs that have the non-psychosomatic stuff that makes, weed, you know, you end up in a bird coop like Smokey or something like that. That was Angel Dust, I think. But
yeah,
you know,
that was not weed, homie.
But
I was laced with something.
But you know, I mean, there's the proponents on it. In fact, MP Michael Price and I, we are going to be speaking next week to on The Black Hole, the other podcast that I host, with his cousin Cullen Jenkins, who won a Super Bowl with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers back in the day. And, you know, spent a lifetime kind of, not a lifetime, but his playing time abusing alcohol and pills until he discovered CBD after his playing career and has ditched all of that and now is a strong proponent for CBD and everything. So it's still one
when's
of those.
That show?
It's going to be Tuesday. Tuesday at 6:30. Going to be streaming live on Facebook, just like we stream Levels and everything. But we're going to be chatting with him about that because there's those. The science has come such a far way, you know, and there's lots of MMA fighters who have those sponsorships with CBD companies and things like that because, you know, they are strong proponents and advocates for its use. And you know what? If I look at it and say, okay, CBD is whatever, but if it keeps athletes of this caliber, if it keeps anybody away from abusing alcohol and pills, opiates mm-hmm. and everything else. I've seen what opiates do. Yeah, I've seen what alcohol mm-hmm. does. You know, if it keeps people away from that, I'm all for it.
And you ain't got to just smoke it. Save your lungs. Get it going.
No. Legalize it. You know, more and more states are legalizing the use of marijuana and CBD, and just like Mike Dixon, our good friend Mike Dixon, saying,
don't criticize it. Yeah.
So you know we're earning that stage point where now the bills are being introduced to the House and the Senate and things like that. It's getting that time. It's going to be that tipping point here in the next couple of years, probably, where it's going to become federal and everything. So now it's time to kind of embrace the science and see how it can help athletes and help just everyday people, as opposed to just saying, "Hey, well, you know, remember dime bags back in the day?" It's not that anymore. It's highly scientific and everything. So
let them people out of jail too. While you
Let all those people out of jail. Give Nick Diaz his 2 years back from getting suspended. Yeah, nothing wrong with CBD, man. You know, as long as guys aren't abusing pills and weed and everything else, I'm all for it.
And you got, listen.
We've seen the results of that.
This whole pandemic, there's like, you know, a lot to be said on social media. You got a lot of moms who like got their own bottles of like whatever wine and whiskey to get through. And I've been thinking about that a lot. I'm like, how are you like home drunk all day? You can't like go anywhere. Ugh. Like if you tried to go somewhere, you can't drive. Like, you know, like there needs to be like, people need to talk to these moms, you know, get like your CBD, like the kind that you trust. Cause sometimes you need something to get through. I understand. Like before we got on, my daughter smashed a whole ass banana on the kitchen floor. You can't just pick the bananas up, right? You got to clean the floor now. You know, like, and look, that ain't even the first thing that happened in, you know, on my way just to get to this.
Is there any more slime on the ceiling?
Man, I'm looking right now and it's like a little like spot, but let me tell you, I heard them scurry around and I knew, I'm like, what are y'all doing? So I get up and I thought I walked into a spider web and it was MF and slime coming off of the ceiling. Like Spider-Man for real was up there on the ceiling. I'm like, what the hell? Like, it's like,
you're doing wrong. That.
And look, they were gone.
No kids do. They do.
I didn't even ask who did it because they're not going to rat each other out. You know, but let me tell you something. You know, if I was a drinking mom, I'd have been drunk.
A white wine zombie mom.
Let me tell you, but like if I had some CBD in the house, I'd have calmed my ass down and had a reasonable night and nobody would have got hurt up in here.
Well, there you go. That's the show. We'll get into it with that. So thank you guys for tuning in, for commenting, for leaving us all your stuff. And our sponsor, of course. Yeah, them too. AmazonRealEstateClub.com. Go check them out. It's the new way of doing real estate, especially here in Las Vegas. We appreciate their love and support, as always, especially all of you guys for sharing it and everything. And thank you to our guest, Andreas Hell, for stopping by, sharing some knowledge with us, man. I think you and Andreas and maybe one or two other people, some of the hardest working folks in the business of combat sports and everything. So, yeah, you know, yeah, you're right there with them, man. I love it. So, and especially to our guys, Mike Dixon, Ralph Velez, Ramblin' Ralph Velez, for everything that they do for the show and everything. All right. So we will see you guys tomorrow, right?
You're going to thank TC.
Okay. We'll see you guys tomorrow with Ralph Velez doing his thing. And thank you so much, TC Martin, for everything that you do for the community. Dressing up as Santa and, you know, doing all that stuff for the kids. Oh, and look, Sky Moore.
Hi, Sky.
Hi, it's Sky Moore. Haven't talked to him in a while.